The dreaded R word was being bandied about yesterday after the release of the latest GDP figures. The quarterly data revealed that Australia grew by half the rate economists were expecting. Annual growth came in at 2.7% in the year to the end of September, and that's below the long-term average. But a continuing fall in the terms of trade saw national income shrink for the second quarter in a row, placing Australia in what's been called an income recession. Treasurer Joe Hockey said the weak numbers were a wake-up call for Australia, and he's expected to tell the Parliament today that Australia's quality of life is at risk.
Complacency is our enemy. Doing nothing on economic reform is not an option for our country. This government is determined to continue to deliver its economic action strategy. This involves getting the budget under control, removing taxes, removing red tape, building infrastructure and growing trade. This all helps Australia to cope with events that are beyond our control.
Treasurer Joe Hockey warning yesterday the Senate needs to stop blocking the government's budget measures. Saul Eslake is chief economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch in Australia, and he earlier in the week forecast that Australia had likely slipped into what he's called an income recession. Saul Eslake, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Saul, for the second quarter in a row, Australian business, government and households have received a pay cut due to falling commodity prices and lower wages growth. But what does it actually mean that we are now in an income recession? What's the impact of that on the broader economy?
Well, I wouldn't overstate it, but it does mean precisely what you said in that introduction, that Australians are now experiencing declining real incomes, and that shows up in all sorts of ways. It's part of the reason why for average Australians in the workforce, real wages are stagnant. That is, their pay increases are just keeping up with inflation, but no more. That's the first time that's happened since the recession of the early 90s, apart from briefly during the financial crisis, when employees did accept, in many cases, pay cuts in order to preserve jobs. It's apparent in the shortfalls in revenue that many domestically oriented companies have been experiencing, that affects them and their share prices. And of course, it's the main reason why, in a couple of weeks' time, Treasurer Joe Hockey is going to have to repeat some of Wayne Swan's performances by announcing that yet again forecasts of revenue made in the previous budget are going to have to be revised down, and that as a result the budget deficit will be bigger than had been forecast in May.
So Saul, when we hear the word recession, it's a little bit scary. Does an income recession predict a real recession down the track? Is that now a risk?
No, not necessarily, and I'm certainly not forecasting that we're going to have one anytime soon. Rather, this arises from the fact that to a much greater extent than other countries with similar standards of living, Australia's income is more volatile, and that reflects the fact that we export a lot more commodities than most other advanced economies do. They make up some three-quarters of our exports, and the prices of commodities are inherently more volatile than the prices of manufactured goods and services that make up most of the trade of countries like the United States, Europe, and Japan. During the 6 years up to the onset of the financial crisis, this worked the other way for Australians. That is, we had modest GDP growth, economic growth, of about 3 to 3.5% per annum, but our incomes grew in excess of 5% per annum because commodity prices kept going up. Among other things, that meant that year after year, the Howard government, as it then was able to cut income taxes and hand out all sorts of cash payments to various people while still running bigger budget surpluses than it expected. For most of the period since 2011, the reverse has been the true. Commodity prices have been falling. We've had GDP growth that, except for yesterday, has been close to 3%, a little lower than before the onset of the financial crisis, but close to trend. But because commodity prices have been falling, the income that GDP growth produces is less than it used to be, and shows up, among other things, in greater difficulty facing governments in returning their budgets to surplus.
So, Saul, on Monday, the Treasurer was urging us all to go out and spend for Christmas, don't let Santa down. But are Australians likely going to feel like going out and spending and for Santa and whoever if real wages are stagnant, which is what's shown up in yesterday's figures?
Well, it's part of the Treasurer's job to talk up the economy, so I don't blame Mr. Hockey for saying what he said or think that he's necessarily wrong. But my own sense is that Australian consumers will be fairly cautious heading into Christmas this year, as they were last year. They know that their income growth is stagnant in real terms. They know that the unemployment rate is drifting up. They probably look at what's happening to the currency, and although a lower currency is, as the Reserve Bank said on Tuesday, something the economy needs, historically, when the currency's been going down, consumers tend to think that must be because something's going wrong with the economy, and they tend to rein in their spending a little accordingly. So while I don't think this coming Christmas is going to be bad, nor do I think it's going to be one of the best that retailers have ever had.
Okay, you're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 4 to 7. Saul Eslake is Chief Economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. The upside of an income recession seems to be, Saul, for exporters at least, that the Australian dollar is starting to fall. It fell below 84 US cents yesterday on the bet that the slower growth rate will trigger another cut from the RBA. Is that wishful thinking?
Well, I think the dollar is falling not so much in response to data here in Australia, but more than anything else because of a stronger US dollar against which the A-dollar is measured. And as the Reserve Bank said, it needs to fall a lot more in order to provide the stimulus that exporters outside of mining and firms who compete with imports have been looking for a long time. And I think the Reserve Bank would be delighted to see the trend of the past couple of weeks continue and accelerate.
Okay.
And the question in markets' minds is whether the Reserve Bank's going to do something itself by way of cutting interest rates. I don't think they will, certainly not in response to the figures released yesterday, which, after all, are backward-looking, and the 2.7% annual growth figure was more or less in line with what the Reserve Bank had been foreshadowing for some time.
All right.
I think something more will have to happen to prompt them to cut rates.
So just briefly, we're almost out of time, but the Treasurer is going to give a ministerial statement today warning us that unless the government can implement its budget and its reform agenda, Australia's quality of life is at risk. What's your outlook for the economy next year? Will improving consumer and business confidence save the economy from a rapidly disappearing mining boom? Is it all depend on whether the Senate passes the budget?
It doesn't depend next year on whether the Senate passes the budget, although there is a major fiscal consolidation task ahead of us, as Martin Parkinson and Glenn Stevens have been saying for years. My sense is that 2015 will be a very similar year for the Australian economy to 2014. We won't have a recession, but growth will be weak and unemployment will continue to rise.
Saul Eslake, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, friend.
Saul Eslake is the Chief Economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.